burned, as was another one. Paul took the brunt of it. He was the older. He was still able to get Andy and the other boy out before he ended up, flames were not able to put out, passed out. And Andy has said before in an interview, he didn't talk much about it, but he said he owes his life to Paul Urich.
You know, and when you go back to his career, what's interesting about it is, obviously, when you play the period he did, and that's 1943 to 59 with the Cubs, the Dodgers, and the Milwaukee Braves, you're going to come across a lot of well-known players. He basically replaced Stan Hack from the Cubs at third base, started his career in the infield, right?
No, he's an outfielder. My dad was the third baseman of the family, but when Stan Hack retired, they didn't have anybody else, so they moved Andy in from the outfield.
But he did play third base.
He played third. Matter of fact, was named to an all-star team at third base. I think that was 48.
Well, he's one of the few players to be an all-star in the infield and the outfield.
That is correct. He had four all-star games.
But his career, when it ended, and this is what's interesting, too, he kind of, in a sense, was, what happened, you know, he basically was replaced by Hank Aaron.
That is correct. Aaron's rookie year was 1954. The Braves, Boston Braves, had moved to Milwaukee in the 53, just before the 53 season. Andy was picked up by Boston from the Dodgers, basically because he was the Wisconsin farm kid. And that was a good marketing play, moving a new baseball team to Wisconsin. And so in 54 was Aaron's rookie year. He was actually kind of charged, you know, being a senior ball player, mentoring the young lad. And in 55, Aaron was placed in right field, which had been Andy's position for the Braves. And Andy became the fourth outfielder. Ended up getting a lot of playing time. Bobby Thompson had moved to the Milwaukee Braves. He and Andy were actually roommates on the road, good friends. And so Andy ended up playing quite a bit in 55. After that, his playing time diminished. As he was getting older, he was getting into his mid, late 30s, and his playing time diminished.
And, well, I mean, it sounds like he kind of was Hank Aaron's Wally Pipp. Wally Pipp being the first baseman, just getting a day off for Lou Gehrig and never played again.
The
difference is that your uncle did play. Now, did he, he passed away in Stevensville, Michigan. Did he come back to Wisconsin? I mean, was he a Twins fan anywhere along the way here?
No, he did play in an old-timers game against Twins old-timers back in the 90s after the 91 World, just a couple years after the 91 World Series. But he always considered himself a Cubs fan. He married a Chicago gal. He lived in Chicago, moving to a nursing home in Michigan. That's where Ellen's in-laws' relatives were taking care of him in his last years.
And now, how did you spend a ton of time? I mean, right now you're wearing an Andy Pafko shirt with three photos of him and signed by Andy Pafko. Mm-hmm. And when he signed it, I mean, there's no sign in the signature of this being some old guy with a shaky handwriting. It's pretty crisp. Was that how long ago was that signed?
This, I wore the family. There's a few other of these sweatshirts. We wore those in 1999 when Andy was named to the Cubs All-Century team. So we were his entourage as we went to Wrigley Field. And he spent the whole, you know, we got there early and probably with these shirts, we were neon signs, and so people started mobbing them. And Andy would always sign autographs. That was one of his trademarks. And then they had the ceremony and spending a whole lot of time signing stuff in Wrigley for that. He actually joined us for a couple innings. We were in the stands on the first base side, and once people knew who he was, all of a sudden the all-century team posters that people were giving out were being signed. But actually, at that era, baseball players thought it was their duty or their privilege to sign their fans' autographs for their fans. And my dad tells me that Andy practiced a signature so that he would reproduce it perfect every time. This was signed at the end of that long day in August of 99. We had gotten back from the Wrigley Field and took our sweatshirts off, and he set them down with a blue Sharpie and signed his autograph.
Now we're talking to Frank Pafko, Andy's nephew, and there's a book out, Handy Andy, The Andy Pafko Story by Joe Neese. Do you ever wash the thing? Because I'd be afraid that it's gonna that the soap or you rinse it, that's gonna wind up taking the name off. Is there a special way to handle that?
One, this has never been washed. As a matter of fact, this has not.
I thought there was a different aroma in the room. No, I'm kidding.
Well, this, it's been hanging in the closet. This has also never been worn until I started with Joe doing a couple, three, four events on the book.
I think if you dry clean it, you'd be okay.
I might. I'm not planning.
I'd ask first.
I'm not eating while I'm wearing this, and I am taking it off.
Frank, you'd hate to put it in the wash, and all you see is, like, when a woman's mascara runs, all you see is the black color of it running down the shirt.
Do not want to do that. No,
it actually looks like it's very crisp.
It is.
Because it's hardly been, worn.
Hardly been worn.
You know, it's the type of he has this so many great little vignettes in his life, and as you mentioned, the Bruce Willis story mentioned Andy Pafko, the movie that they had. Now, is there any talk at all of somebody getting an option for a movie to his life, because he's touched so many lives and so many big stories along the way, including being in a World Series and winning a World Series?
No, there's been no talk of that at all. He was a very good ball player, had a great career. Got a couple of votes for the Hall of Fame when he was first eligible, but no, he was that next tier down. As the Cubs were declining after his first World Series was 45 with the Cubs, which happens to be the last time the Cubs were in the World Series, This is their 70th anniversary of that.
Being in, not winning, but being in.
You know, but once he moved to, and he was the best player on the Cubs, that was his prime years, kind of 47 to 50.
He was batting about 300 then.
He was a solid 300 hitter back then. Once he moved to the Brooklyn Dodgers, he was more of the role player. There were some superstars on that team, and the same with the Braves.
Well, again, Frank Pafko, thanks for taking the time. Handy Andy, the Andy Pafko story. Joe Neese wrote it, and I'm sure you can find this on Amazon.
It's on Amazon, and you can also get it from Joe's website, joeneese.com. Neese is spelled N-I-E-S-E.
That's great, Frank. Thanks so much. And come back. We're going to be joined by psychic Ruth Lorden. Hey, she's brought us Vince Lombardi and Jim Thorpe. Maybe she could bring Andy Pafko. We'll let you know what he's thinking. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back.
The Bench Warmers, featuring Dave Schwartz from Care 11 and Jill Hammy.
Jim Craig, over the past couple of Olympics, there was a lot of talk about not bringing back the professionals. How do you feel about that?
You had a chance to have the best athletes in the world compete, which was great. But I think they can create their own venue, the World Championships, and they can put it on a schedule that's probably more conducive to their working careers.
The Benchwarmers, every Sunday morning at 10 on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We are back. We're joined by Ruth Lorden at Psychic Ruth on Twitter, ruthlorden.com. And Frank and Ruth and I were talking, and as we were, Ruth has brought through for us Vince Lombardi, Jim Thorpe. I mean, a number of people. I think you've brought in Carl Pollard's come through, Pete Rozelle. And we talked to Frank Pafko about his uncle and a book about him, Andy Pafko. And Andy has also, he told you a few things, too, that he was a right-handed hitter. He always would have liked to have batted left-handed because he thought he could have. And he also said that they cheated when he played, too. And they would try to move the plate. And even if you move, even if you moved an inch, it made a difference?
Yeah, but what I believe he was telling me is what he would do it, too. You could kick with your foot a little. You could move it, and you could get a better angle. This man was very, very good with angles. He was very geometric. He had a big math mind. And he would kind of cheat. He says he would move the plate a little bit, and then he could get a better angle. And he wants his nephew to be a teacher. He thinks he has a lot to share and offer.
Well, I don't know if Frank's ever done any teaching, but it's something to take away from it if Andy's telling you to do that. Now, Ruth, I wanted to talk to you about a few things. Now, you had also come into the room because you heard the interview that we did with the Vikings' new offensive tackle, Babatunde Ayegbuse, 6'9", 351, a tackle. And you said you got a pretty good vibe from him?
I was listening, driving in to the interview, and the vision I got was his feet are on the ground, his head is not in the clouds, he gets it. He's not going to be, hey, I'm the rookie, I can party. He's got it for real, he knows what he's doing, he wants to learn, I think he's smart, he has natural ability. I get a good feeling from him. He's willing to work hard, and he'll take the Vikings in a different direction because he's going to have a real work ethic.
Well, but the odds are very much against him making the team. So you think he actually has a shot to make the team?
At this point, what I feel is 30%, but they'd be a fool not to keep him around.
Well, they could, if they want, they could put him on the he's the type of guy that would be perfect for the practice squad.
The practice squad, and he will have his shot. Because he's serious. I get a psychic feeling he doesn't get injured. He knows how to protect himself. He knows what he's doing. And he's going to be good.
Well, we'll see. He seems like a nice guy. I mean, he does seem grounded. Certainly not.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to be cocky about when you're coming from the German Football League and the Polish Football League. But that's it'll be interesting to see what he does do. Now, I wanted to also ask you just quickly. We talk about Adrian Peterson. Is he going to start the season and play with the Vikings?
I do believe he is. He's been dumb. You know, we all know that the owners of the Vikings are Orthodox Jewish people. So, and with what's going on in the world, what was he thinking having a party where he rides on a camel and being an Arab? He thought he'd get them, oh, we don't want to deal with him. And I think it's had the other opposite direction. There, he's going to be, and you know what I've said all along? I saw him in purple. I don't believe unless it's a last-minute trade when they discover what I feel, which is he is not the healthy man everybody thinks he is. I don't see him really playing well this season.
So you think that he will have some more health issues?
Yes, I do. I really do.
All right. Now, what about this Kentucky basketball team? They're undefeated. They crushed by, 39 points West Virginia last night. Is it, in your mind, I'll use the term, is it a slam dunk that they win the national championship? Or can Wisconsin beat them? Or Arizona beat them? Or Duke beat them? Are they going to win it? Or is there a team there that could knock them off?
Michigan State is gone, correct?
No.
Oh, they're still in it. Because my first psychic feeling when someone asked me, I felt Michigan State.
Now, well, that would have to be a national championship game, which, I mean, Michigan State making it, doing what they've done, it's impressive.
But last night I did see, you know, I was walking out, and usually whatever I see, the spirit show me, I saw Kentucky playing. I do feel they've got two people with injuries on there.
Yeah, but they got so many players, an injury to one isn't gonna derail
them. They're aiming
them.
For it. Arizona's going to be the surpriser. Arizona's going to surprise people.
Well, if they were to surprise them, that would mean knocking off Kentucky, because it's not a surprise if they beat Wisconsin. That's going to be a heck of a game.
Well, for people here, it is, because, you know, they want Wisconsin to win.
Sure.
I'm not betting on that. If I had to put money on it, I would bet Kentucky. I'd rather play the stock market than the sports market, but I would put Kentucky.
Well, I'd say that's a pretty good bet, because they are the prohibitive favorite as it stands right now. Now, what about the Wolves, where will they draft? I mean, the numbers, because you've dealt with this before with the Wolves draft. Will they get the first pick, second, third? I mean, how?
I saw a third pick in the draft. You know, I said that the star this year would be Flip Saunders, and he just had nothing to work with. Until Glenn Taylor is no longer an owner, I don't know. I think it's going to take a magical change like that. Get Kevin Garnett in there, and they're going to get the respect, and they're going to have the ability to win.
But you're seeing the third overall pick.
Yeah, I think they're going to get a third pick.
Now, what about the Wild? They had a, as you know, terrible start to the season. Now they're in the first wild card spot. Can they win the Stanley Cup? Do you see them winning the Stanley Cup this year, or do you just see them winning a few series, or even just one series? How deep can they go?
Are there three series?
Well, yeah.
Because they win three series.
Well, that's not too shabby. Because that puts them, if they win three series, that puts them in the Stanley Cup.
And then, it's not something to predict at this point. Let's see how they do in the series.
So the threes are big today. Wolves drafting third, the Wild winning three series.
The number coming through.
And now we're going to go to something that's been going, it's been going on in the courts, and this thing, I'm surprised it's not over yet. And there are some people, I think, that are starting to wonder what will happen with Aaron Hernandez. Do you see this trial? I mean, will he be found guilty?
From day one when I looked at this, I don't think so. My psychic feeling is there's stupid and sloppy evidence, people. I don't think it was anything intentional that they're paying it off. I just think that they messed up. They mess up. They don't have what they need.
And, I mean, it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, there is some doubt about exactly what the Twins will do this year. Give me, they've had four straight years of 90-loss seasons. 500 puts them at 81-81. How many wins do you see them getting this year? What's the number?
90 to 95, and maybe
90
even
to 95?
More. Maybe
wins or losses?
Wins, maybe even more because...
Ruth, are you kidding?
No, just like Seattle, although this year it didn't help them, they have the 12th man.
The
Twins
team.
Are going to have their 10th player, and that is Mother Nature. I see the winds. I see the winds blowing, and our players will know how to deal with it. They can use this in their favor. I also get a psychic feeling about two good pitchers, and they're going to be able to handle this. If they learn how to work with the wind, and the teams coming in won't be able to work with this wind, we have help from Mother Nature. It's about time.
Well, they've had Mother Nature messing with them before, and they couldn't adjust to it. But you're basically saying that Target Field could become the type of advantage that the Metrodome was for them.
Yes. I saw the wind. I saw it windy this year. Not rain, not hail, wind.
And we had earlier, Ruth, we had on Jeff Anderson, who's the executive director of communications for the Vikings. And we were talking, said that the new stadium is about 50% done. And I had asked him about, because they put the new glass in for the giant, was it 90-foot high doors or whatever it is. And the Audubon Society is all worked up. Here's the question I have for you. Are the birds going to be safe when they fly around the new stadium? Let's hope so.
I hope so, but not at first. It's just going to be like, you know, whenever somebody gets killed, they put in the traffic light. After there's a few birds that are sacrificed, they're going
to
fix it.
They'll have to put maybe some of those decals so that they...
Yeah.
Well, I'm just glad they're going to take care of it. That's the most important thing of all for this. Now, there's the Gopher men's hockey team plays tonight against Minnesota Duluth. So I'm going to say those two teams, Minnesota Duluth, University of Minnesota.
Minnesota Duluth is playing really, really dirty, and let's hope the refs catch it.
So you're thinking that Minnesota Duluth will beat Minnesota tonight?
No, I'm saying it's going to be up to the refs calling it and catching them because they're doing a lot of bad things. They're playing dirty. They're going down and dirty. They're going for blood.
Well, they want to win. They want to win, and they want to advance, and they want to win themselves a national championship, which is completely understandable.
They're playing to take no prisoners, and they're taking the risks that are, I guess you would call it, illegal.
Well, that's you hate to hear that.
They're do or die.
Play one more time.
Everybody loves the Gophers.
All right, let me ask you, Ruth, what dialect does that sound like?
Everybody loves the Gophers.
Does it sound Irish? Or does it sound...
It sounds Polish and Canadian.
No.
To me.
That's Nino Niederreiter.
He's from Switzerland.
Well, yeah.
I didn't know what the Swiss sounded like.
I mean,
other than him. But it sounded to me a little... Hellboy and I thought that sounded a little Irish to us.
Well, everybody loves the Gophers.
Everybody loves the Gophers.
When I was in Ireland, I didn't hear like that.
No, well, you were there. I wasn't. Well, Ruth, we appreciate it. Ruth Lorden at Psychic Ruth on Twitter and RuthLorden.com. And also, where can people find you if they want to come and visit with you?
Well, on Fridays, I am always at the Poorhouse at 4 to 7 downtown. And then I'm at the Medina Entertainment Center Wednesdays and Thursdays, which they're big on this station. And I've been there for over 20 years. This week, I'm doing a meet and greet on Saturday night and Robbinsdale at the Lodge, which is attached to Bill's Gun Shop.
Great. Well, Ruth, we appreciate it. Thanks so much. And we'll come right back and be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanOnFilter.com. When he has his guest tonight on his podcast will be, well, me. Anyway, we'll talk to Jim about what's going on, and we'll talk to him about that, too. Be right back with Jim Suhan.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I think someone better P-test Tiger Woods. I said that a long time ago.
But how dare the PGA do anything like that to their chosen son?
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
We're back, and we are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanOnFiltered.com, where you can find all of his podcasts, including tonight's at O'Gara's with me. Now, Jim, have you found anyone that's better yet? Because I know it wouldn't be hard to find one.
Have I found anyone who's better than you?
Yeah.
Well, let's say until 6 o'clock, I won't admit to having found anybody better than you.
You're too kind, yes. Well, I think so. Let me see. Wait a minute. Now, you did go down and you said yesterday, because I noticed some of your co-workers at the Star Tribune talked about emptying their desk and getting ready for the move. It's over, right? That place is going to be shuttered and then taken down after this weekend. Everyone should be out by the end of the day, right, of the Star Tribune building?
Well, there are a couple of people who were kind of hoping to stay for the demolition, but, you know.
we'll
see. It will be great, you know. What I mean, my dream scenario is they demolish it with Sid inside, And he emerges like the Terminator with just that red eye.
Well, of course he would emerge. Nothing's going to take him down.
No, no, he is Rasputin.
And that is going to
be... He makes Rasputin look like a wimp.
Well, I think he was with Rasputin. They went to school together.
Listen, I can get Rasputin on the phone anytime I want, okay, buddy?
He's a close personal friend.
He's a close personal friend. Hey, I talk to Rasputin. You don't talk to Rasputin.
That's what it was. It was Lou Holtz. It was Bobby Knight, George Steinbrenner, and Rasputin. That was his big four.
There was a fourth for that golfing outing, but we just know who the fourth was.
Yeah. Well, I know that had Billy Martin lived longer, he would have been certainly throwing him in the mix too, because they were big. But as a matter of fact, this is a hell of a book, by the way. We're gonna have Bill Pennington on in the next couple of weeks. He wrote a book about Billy Martin. It's terrific. But Sid, though, has mentioned in a few spots about how Sid always stuck up for Billy Martin. What a shock.
Well, yeah, that's Sid's whole game. Sid is, remember, I mean, this is what you need to know about Sid's strategizing here. Sid hated Denny Green's guts because Denny was the guy who got hired when Sid said that Pete Carroll was going to get hired and should get hired. So he was offended to pick somebody that he didn't want. He hated Denny Green's guts until the rest of us started reporting on Denny's off-the-field activities, and Denny hated the rest of us. And then Sid saw an opening, and then Sid was Denny's best friend, because then he knew that's the common denominator between whether it's Denny or Bobby Knight or George Steinbrenner or Lou Holtz or Rasputin, is everybody else is against them, so Sid sees an opening to kiss up to them and have them be his guy.
That's worked for him for 90-something years.
For 300 years.
Yeah, at least that long. What if he is one of those guys like a vampire? Or one of these guys like the, what was the one where they just kept, they had the big sword fight, although I can't see Sid picking up a sword and he'd just live forever. What was that, Hellboy, you know? The Highlander.
Oh, Highlander.
Yeah, there can be only one.
The thing is, though, think about it. You know, think about all the characterizations you've ever seen of vampires or Highlanders. They're all, like, cool and suave, and they say funny things on one-liners. Sid just calls people jerks, and that's about it.
Listen to me, Genghis. That's a bad idea.
Listen, I'll tell you what, that Tara Lipinski should never have done that with Clinton.
Well, anyway, he is. I mentioned it because it's when they do take down the Star Tribune building, it will become part of, I believe, the plaza for the new stadium. Yeah. So it's just going to be that whole area is going to look very different. And Jeff Anderson was on with us earlier, Jim, and he had said they were told by the end of the month, which is pretty much here, they're going to be 50% done with the new stadium. I don't see how if they work through the night, they could get that thing ready for this next season. I'm sure of it.
It looks great. I mean, I see it all the time. It just looks spectacular. I have some qualms about public funding for stadiums, but I just think it's the way of the world. It's the only way you can get teams or keep teams. The city is better off having the team than losing the team, even if you end up with what you see as an unpalatable deal. I think it's going to be spectacular. And you tell you what, a lot of people in our business trade on nostalgia, whether it's old players or old teams or old buildings. I am not nostalgic at all about the Metrodome. It was really crappy by the time it got demolished, and I'm not nostalgic at all about the Star Tribune building. For the last 4 or 5 years, it's smelled bad. It's been a dirty place. It's been underpopulated. It's time to go.
You know, and I worked there in the 80s, but what I remember about it is, because I was in other newsrooms that they were, they weren't cheery. And I'm not talking about the people, just the color scheme they had was depressing. Because everything was just, it was, everything just said, they had like, unless they changed it, the computers were all dark, the chairs were, even the table or the desks were all, they just had like a, it was like a, they decided to go with like a brown motif throughout the building.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't have like 4-inch shag carpeting, because that's the way the place was decorated. And it really was a shock to me, Bob, because one of the reasons I wanted to get into this business was I loved newsrooms. And I didn't just love the fictional newsrooms we saw in All the King's Men, All the President's Men and all the great movies, but I loved real newsrooms. I loved the clatter. I loved the vitality, the urgency. I loved deadlines. I loved, to me it was a great game. Do the best you can before the deadline. I loved that stuff, and I worked in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, which is pretty bustling, and then I worked at a small paper in Indiana briefly, and it was very bustling, and I worked at the Dallas Morning News, and it was exactly what I wanted it to be: phones ringing, people yelling at each other, It was awesome. And I came to the Star Tribune, and I felt like I was in somebody's basement. It was dark, dimly lit, dark computers, people kind of sitting by themselves, not really talking much, not much noise, people spread out. It was a shock to the system. Well, and so I don't really, you know, I miss newsrooms. I don't miss this newsroom.
Now, Jim, I was there in the 80s, so they probably didn't upgrade the computers then, if they still have the same dark computers.
I don't think they did. I mean,
wow.
You know, there have been times we've invested in new systems, new software, but
the computers themselves, yeah.
They usually fail, by the way. You know, if newspapers ever die, it will be of self-inflicted wounds. But they never really upgraded it in a way that made the place cheerier or brighter.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to the new place. I will go work at the new place.
And what building is it in? You got
Capella Tower, which is, it's really not that far from the Star Tribune. It's like, you know, where that little square of grass, kind of municipal square in the middle of downtown is?
Yes.
It's like just north of that.
And parking will not be a bear, or is it going to be?
Parking's going to be a bear, but I live downtown, so I don't know. That's not an issue. It will be an issue for a lot of the people who have to. It won't be a good issue for a lot of people who have to commute, but for me, I'm lucky.
Well, if you're at the new building, you could probably walk to Target Field or to the stadium.
That's one of the reasons I moved downtown. I can walk to Target Field. I can walk to Target Center. I can walk to First Avenue. I can walk to the local and Kieran's and my favorite pubs. I can walk to my favorite coffee shop. I can walk to my favorite restaurants. It's awesome.
Now, before I let you go, tell me, how impressed were you with Kentucky? And can anyone beat them after seeing what they did last night?
It's college basketball, so you can't ever feel like somebody's unbeatable because foul trouble, you know, 5 fouls is a ridiculous small, especially for a team that relies on defense and plays hard defense. You get the wrong ref, and they, you know, foul a key player out early in the game, it could change things. The big variables for upsets in college basketball are fouls and three-point shots. So if they ran into a hot shooting team that got them in foul trouble, who knows what happens? I just don't see it happening.
No.
And if I bet on sports, I would bet on Kentucky to win as I did before the tournament, to win the championship with an average margin of victory of 10 or 15. And, you know, I didn't think West Virginia was a very good matchup for them, but still, the way they just destroyed, I mean, they didn't have to score. They would have won had they gone scoreless in the second half.
That's a great point. Yeah, they would have, because they had 44 at the half, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, Jim, it's always great talking to you. Star Tribune, SueUnfiltered.com. You had Mike Russo last night. You draw the short story. You got me tonight at O'Gara's in about an hour or so, a little more than that.
Trust me, by 6 o'clock, you're going to be really sick of me.
I can't wait. All right, Jim, we'll see you in a bit.
See you there, man.
Take care. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to go back. We're going to go with we're going to double things up. We're going to have a little D-bag of the day. We're going to have a little threesome. And we also got some Swarm tickets to give out. If you're a Swarm fan, if you want to go to the Swarm, you can pick the game you want to go to. Show off for your gal, pal, boyfriend, whatever you want to do, your significant other, your wife, husband, you can have these tickets and pick the game. And you can give us a call, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. You call, you get them. We may put you on, we may not. We'll be right back with our threesome and D-bag of the day.
Get your Twins inside update every weekday. Hardball with Mike Berrettino of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Paul Molitor is not looking to skip the fifth rotation spot.
You don't really need that guy if you keep, say, Phil Hughes on a every fifth day turn, and he said he's not tempted to do that. He likes what he's seen out of the fifth spot.
Hardball with Mike Berrettino. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Every Monday through Friday afternoon at 5:30 with Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Got them both. I wanted to see you overlap them. Can you have done that? Would that have sounded?
It would have sounded weird.
Can you do it, though?
Not right now.
Well, let me know when you can, because I kind of be kind of interesting to hear. You'll get three. Which one would be the dominant one? The D-bag, probably, right?
Yeah.
No, that's the one we're going with first anyway. Now, this is the question, and if you want to, I wouldn't mind people weighing in on this. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. This is a D-bag of the day or not. Because there's something, now, it's about Michael Sam. And I have to say that when Michael Sam said in college that he was gay and he was going to the NFL draft, I thought it was, you know, good for him. He wasn't afraid to share with people his sexual orientation for a sport where no player had ever said that they were openly gay in the NFL. And I still, I mean, I still follow his career, and I've always thought that the best spot for him, landing spot, because it turned out he wasn't much of an NFL player, would be to work for ESPN or someone as like a, initially as a sideline a guy who, you know, gives you the updates and interviews, and maybe he could work his way into the booth, because I do think the guy is, I mean, he's likable, except, and why I say D-bag or not, he's talking today, and this is not why it's in any way bothersome. Claims there's a lot of gay players in the NFL, including, quote, some famous people. He's not going to name them, not reveal their identities. This is yesterday. He talked to the media in Dallas, said, I'm not the only gay person in the NFL. I'm just saying there's a lot of us. And there's nothing wrong with that, saying that. And but here's where it goes into the why I this didn't have to be said. He claims a lot of players have reached out to him who are gay in the NFL, and here's the one that I just had to read over again. And they, quote, quote, had the courage to tell me that they were also gay. Now, here's where it really jumped out. But they do not have the same courage as I do to come out before I even played it down in the NFL. Who is he to decide who's got courage and who doesn't for what they're doing? I mean, a lot of these guys, They don't, if they want to talk about it, I don't really care. And I think most people don't. But for him, suddenly, they don't have the courage I have to do it. Am I overreacting to that? Or do you think that's a little jarring? It was jarring when I read it.
I don't know. Seems like it's a very personal thing for somebody to actually come out the way they want to. I mean, they want it to be on their terms. Maybe some people just aren't comfortable with coming out. And I think Michael Sam's just trying to keep himself in the news maybe a little bit, because he's trying so hard to get to the NFL, and good luck to him. Maybe he will someday play an actual snap, but I think he's just trying to keep himself relevant and in the mix.
Well, he's on Dancing with the Stars, one of the top shows on television. Maybe he's getting a little full of himself. And I don't have a problem with a lot of how he's handled things, except for him to say, if he did say, but they don't, you know, they haven't made the same choice I did to come out before I did in the draft, but to say they do not have the same courage. Nice. I mean, I wonder if his hand is tired from patting himself on the back.
It can come off like he's daring them to come out.
I honestly, it caught me when he said it. That's why I said, you know, D-bag of the day or not. Because I will give him, you know, if he misspoke, and I didn't see anything about him saying he misspoke. So we'll just leave it at that. D-bag of the day or not. Let's hear that threesome.
Hello, Bob. I have three questions for you. Number one, will Mike Wallace be the best Viking deep threat since Randy Moss?
Well, not a lot to battle him for that. Bernard Berrien wasn't. Jerome Simpson wasn't. Both those guys screwed up royally.
But they were both highly touted, like coming in. Like,
they were.
Our deep guy.
Yeah, they were.
So is Mike Wallace going to live up to that?
Mike Wallace is touted like that too.
Potential.
But there's been questions about his hands and his attitude, just like there were for Berrien and Simpson. There's never going to be, obviously, the one that would come closest to it would be, you know, nobody's going to be anything like Randy Moss.
No.
And Sidney Rice was actually...
He was really good.
He was not a burner, but he actually was a good deep threat because of Favre.
The go-up-and-get-it kind of guy, and Favre just threw it up and trusted him.
So will he be better than Sidney Rice with Favre? No. I mean, if that's how we're judging the best since Randy Moss, well, there's been a pretty good one in Sidney Rice, who was not a birder, but he would go up and make the play only with Favre, unfortunately, for his career. And I think we've had this discussion before. How many players, wide receivers, are so much better because they played with Favre and because they play with Aaron Rodgers? And, you know, just pick a great quarterback because they play with them.
Yeah.
You know, look, a good example is... You know, look at the number of guys who had great careers or great years because of Peyton Manning. But with other quarterbacks, it hasn't been the same for them. And Eric Decker is an example of that, too. Yeah. They have to have a great quarterback to have the opportunities. And I think Decker's a hell of a player, but his numbers didn't exactly reflect that.
But he also didn't have a quarterback at all. Pretty sure they were just snapping to nothing.
That's a good point when you're playing for the Jets. So, no, I don't think he's going to be I don't think he'll be better than Sidney Rice. I'll put it that way. All right, what else you got?
Number two, will Richard Pitino stay with the Gophers even if he is offered the Tennessee job?
Why would you offer him the Tennessee job if you're running the Volunteers program? that one. He didn't do anything this year to get an offer to coach anywhere else because he's still learning how to be a Division I coach. I think he will become a good one, but that is not a job that you want somebody with getting on the job training for. There's going to be, you know, many other qualified guys who are there already and are ready to make that next big step. Is that what you're hearing, that he's going to get the job?
Well, it's just the rumors start to swirl when somebody gets a coach fired and then names.
But
Tubby Smith, his name was thrown out there for teams like Alabama. It seemed like every offseason.
Yeah, but Tubby's actually had success.
Yeah.
You know, what
you don't call an NIT championship success?
Excuse me. Where were they? Are they playing this weekend in the, you know, the Sweet 16? Did they
Everybody
play in the
Gophers?
Everybody loves the Gophers. That could be why.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon. I think he's going to. I do believe he will be a good coach.
I think he's going to stick around, even if he was offered another
he's
job.
He's not going to get. You know what? If he was offered the Tennessee job, he may leave.
He's got a decent recruiting class coming in and all that.
I don't think
stuff.
He's going to get the Tennessee job. I don't think that's going to come close to happening. What else you got?
And lastly, are the Vikings done signing players until after the draft?
Well, I doubt it. I love this guy.
Yeah,
no, they're
it's
not.
Fancy.
They'll be picking up guys. Like, look, they picked up our guy Babs Babatunde. I'm not looking at the name. Ayegbusi. That's where I was heading with it. 6'9", 351, OT. Told us he's going to play right tackle for the Vikings. That's where they're going to start him out at. Why they wouldn't put him at left tackle, which was his position with Dresden of the German Football League, is beyond me, because that's where you really have a problem, is at left tackle. Put him where he's most comfortable, but if they feel they want to put him at right, go ahead, it's your team, put him at right tackle.
I just think we're kind of done. We needed a middle linebacker, we got a middle linebacker. We needed another safety for safety death, we got a safety. We wanted another cornerback, we got one of them. We wanted
Terrence
an offensive
Newman.
Lineman, we picked up one of them. And we re-signed Mike Harris. I think we might be done until...
No, there'll be more guys. I'm sure they're not done until the draft. They're going to wind up doing... I mean, none of these have been major signings anyway.
No.
I mean, Terrence Newman 5 years ago might be considered a real nice signing. He's going to be 37 when the season starts. We are going to wrap things up, and we're going to hand things over to the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. Stick with them till 7. Hellboy and I will be back 2 o'clock Monday, if we're lucky.
I'm really tired. This is a long week.
Oh, quit your bitching.
Five whole shows.
It. Excuse me.
First
oh, yeah, that's right. Because we had 3 weeks where we were... Well, the first week was...
High school hockey,
then we had Big Ten, and then NCAA tournament. That's right. You had to put in a full week. Well, I did too. Let's go take a nap. Wait, I can. I have to go somewhere. Anyway, we'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks for listening.
Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around?
Minnesota Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.